Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
I am the table! I am the table! I am the table! I am the table!
Right, guys, we are back for episode 6/7 of Talk at the Table. Just give me a running gag. I'm sorry, Max. Mags are back with me and Conrad as well. Hey, buddies.
Hello.
It's always great to have you guys on board. And it seems like a little bit of a mini reunion here. We welcome to Talk at the Table former guest on the Matt Attack and multiple times on While We Watch and various other shows that Mags has been involved with. And former teammate of Conrad on Brainbuster, of course. Welcome to Talk at the Table, the Queen of Any, Your Majesty.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk with you guys today.
I didn't wear a suit. I was very tempted to wear a suit, but
is there a podcast that this lady is not on, because she's absolutely all over my airwaves.
I'm trying to make you proud, Mags. You know this.
It's amazing. You're doing so well.
You are phenomenal. And definitely. And I'm perfectly classy that we've been very lucky to have you. Thanks, I've got a very good booker. So,
well, that's debatable.
No, it's true. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So, as tradition dictates, we've talked with table, the guests will go first with their topic of choice. So, Mr. Queenie, talk at the table.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so.
Did you just say Mr. Queenie? It sounded like you said Mr.
Queenie.
Miss Queenie.
I heard Mr.
I thought you said Mr. Queenie. I'm going to say, is Mr. Queenie making an appearance?
No.
Not today.
Good.
Well, all right. Well, so something I've been super excited about, you guys, that I wanted to talk with you about and hear what you guys have to say about AEW Heels. So this is an initiative brought forth by Brandi Rhodes. She asked Tony Khan and brought this idea to him, and he approved and said, oh, why didn't I think of this? This is a great idea. So she ran with it along with excuse me, the women of AEW, some specifically are kind of her right hands, like Leva Bates, for example, and a couple are the women backstage at AEW, as well as the superstars themselves. And they have come together to create this platform for female wrestling fans. Essentially, it's a community that they're going to be creating. And we had our first kind of informational, if you will, via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And we got to see Brandi and several other of the AEW women's roster, including Nyla Rose and Sheeta, Big Swole, Shanna, and a whole bunch of other people. It was awesome. And we kind of got to learn what the initiative was about. We got to learn what they want moving forward. So essentially, it's a community of female wrestling fans. They're going to be offering such things as panels, Q&As, exclusive meet and greets, merch, pre-sale opportunities, having events at major pay-per-views, if we ever do that again, StarCast, doing that sort of thing. And maybe also she was talking about having, when you purchase a ticket to go to an AEW show, you could purchase to sit in the AEW Heels section. So you could sit with other female wrestling fans at the show. Mm-hmm. So it's this really cool initiative. They started with the Zoom call. It was almost 250 people that came, wow. Which was awesome. And it was a really fun experience. And it's never been done before quite like this. We do this kind of on our own with our Discords and podcast shows, and we hang out with people. But it's never been done like this. So I was so curious to hear what you guys thought about it, if you heard about it, and kind of just talk about it, because I think it's such a vital and important thing, being that, you know, female voices in wrestling in the past haven't always been celebrated and accepted. And now that we're moving into a time where that is, it's super fun.
Mags.
Yep. I think it's an absolutely amazing idea. I've given AEW a lot of stick on the basis that they said they're going to change the wrestling world, and it's kind of not come off a lot. But this, I will hold my hands up and say, this is changing the wrestling world. It's such a great idea. We know as the female wrestling fan base is growing exponentially, and it's still hard for a female wrestling fan in terms of how they get treated by male wrestling fans, especially when you go to live shows. And it's cool that AEW are kind of focusing on this and empowering you ladies to basically show that you have a voice and you have this community. You're able to build on that and really forge these friendships. And the fact that they're having like these female only sections, and you can really kind of like foster your own cool little community. Yeah, I think it's an amazing idea, and I wholeheartedly applaud AEW for this. It's so good.
Absolutely. Conrad, your thoughts on it?
I think I echo all the sentiments that Max has, to be fair. I think it's really such an innovative idea, and I think it does. It's such a good thing in a time where, let's say, people are divided more, obviously, like figuratively and literally, with the lockdown still in place across the world. But then, obviously, the division that we're seeing at the minute. And I think it's... I've lost the words. I've given AEW a lot of stick, and I think this is like the first big step into achieving that goal that they set out at the first kind of rally thing that they did, where they were saying about becoming an inclusive company. And I think this really gives like female wrestling fans kind of like not a safe space as such, but like a place where there's
Inclusion. It's an inclusion for me. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, inclusion. It's just really nice to see. I hope that this gets like, this encourages more women to get into wrestling. So I feel like there's still kind of like that. It is kind of still a male dominated industry. And I think that really does need to change. We've seen how good that female talent can be, female content creators, and it's just really nice to see. And I think this is the first step in something really, really good for the community as a whole.
I've been a huge supporter of female content creators. Queen, you know that as much as anyone. And it's amazing to see you all getting this kind of this boost from the second biggest company in the Western wrestling world, highlighting you guys. It's so cool to see. And when we're at a stage of wrestling where the biggest star in the wrestling world is a female, it's only right that you as a community get the kind of chance to shine. And yeah, AEW have got my full respect for this. I love it. I love everything about it.
This is something, much like my co-host has said, there's so much positivity about this in general, as rightly so. Sport in general tends to leave women fans out, which is really unfair. I can give you a perfect example of that. My mum, massive soccer fan, and one night when we were down at a pub playing darts, she was trying to talk about sport, about the football match I was on TV at the time, and two of the men cut her off saying, what do you know about football? She knew more than they did. She knew more than they did, and put them in their place. But the fact of the matter is that there is this stigma, which is not appropriate, which is the fact that women don't know because it's sport. I'm like, no. as we've proven, we have Melissa on the show, and now your good self. Women know a lot about wrestling. They know a lot about their sports. My mum was a massive golf fan. Couldn't give a damn about it myself. Couldn't give two about it.
Me neither.
I love golf.
Couldn't pick Rory McIlroy out of a lineup.
I could definitely do that.
I'm joking. I'm not quite that bad. But seriously, certain people I just wouldn't know. But I give AEW a lot of stick, which is possibly unjustified, because the other week I actually jumped into your thing on Twitter that you were broadcasting about AEW Dark. First time I've ever watched a product.
Wow.
That's because you're a WWE mark.
No, it's more a case of I don't watch it. I don't know. It's Cody.
Come on, Matt.
It's Cody. It's Cody. But I do catch the highlights, to be fair. I do catch the highlights, but I haven't watched the show itself. I don't go watch the show. Come on. But I catch Matt, the highlights because I have
We all know you change your tune more than a Barry Manilow record.
Oh, poor Barry.
To be fair, AEW are finally starting to, as Mag said, come good on a few things they've been wanting to say.
Yeah, the sensory stuff was absolutely amazing, and I'd love for him to keep following that up. But this is a great start to include a huge portion of the fan base, and I can't say a bad word about it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think that's a great feel-good story to start off, for certain, definitely.
Probably could have used that near the end, to be fair, because a lot of mine are bitchy AF.
I have negatives and some positives. Don't worry.
I would say that's a real nice feel-good story that I wasn't aware of, so thank you for bringing it to my attention. I appreciate that. I am the table! Conrad, you go next, please, buddy. Talk at the table.
Oh, I'm actually prepared this week. I've got four topics. I'm proud of myself. I think following on from Queenie's lead, AEW Double or Nothing. This is the first time that since I think Revolution that I've properly started watching wrestling. I kind of took a bit of a break and haven't really been that interested in empty arena shows. I thought I'd give it a go. The Stadium Stampede, I was looking forward to seeing what that entailed. And I think it's...
Oh my God, it was so good.
Brilliant. It was mental. And what made it even better was how angry Jim Cornette got about it. And he was like, well, I'm so ashamed of like this guy, and this guy. I was like, well, you just...
Makes it ten times better then, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's just... I think it served as a perfect reminder that wrestling doesn't always have to be serious, and it can be fun, and it's so much better when it's not as when it's fun, when it's like kind of laid back. Chris Jericho with the cone challenge. Chris Jericho was just the best. He was just challenging Aubrey Edwards. They've got such a good dynamic.
You're a shitty referee. That was all good.
Wrestling is supposed to be fun.
Yes.
And that's great when that happens like that.
I think it's just a shame that some people on, like, especially Twitter, and I hate to kind of throw wrestling Twitter under the bus, because a lot of people on wrestling Twitter are brilliant. But there are people that just kind of suck the fun out of it. It's like, well, if you don't like this, then you're not a wrestling fan. Or if you like this, then you're ridiculous and you can go off and you can do this. And it's ridiculous. It's just... like, have a bit of fun. I don't really have any criticisms of it, apart from the drowning thing, which was a bit tame, but it fit into Matt Hardy's kind of like a reincarnation thing, so I can excuse it. It was fun. Really, really fun. I'd like to see more of that across wrestling.
You saying that ridiculous, we have The Undertaker rise from a grave.
That is true.
Mag, you better come in on that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the Stadium Stampede was absolutely superb. I think the bar keeps getting raised for these kind of cinematic matches, and that's currently very, if not the best, at least level with the Barnyard match for me. But the show as a whole, I did have a couple of kind of turds in the punch bowl. I didn't like the Dustin and Sean Spears match one little bit. I felt that Spears left WWE because he was sick of being like a no-mark jobber, and he's now a no-mark jobber in a different company. And I don't think the win did anything particularly to raise Dustin's status. It was just a silly match. And then the vanity booking of Corey, I can't get myself to like it. I like Cody as a wrestler. I just don't like him booking himself in the way that he does. But I'll probably revisit this on one of my topics later on. But all in all, I enjoyed the hell out of the show, so I can't really give it that much grief.
What about you, Queenie? What are your thoughts on overall?
I feel like it was a very, very good pay-per-view. I feel that the MJF Jungle Boy match was an unbelievable
Phenomenal.
If you're going to watch anything and you're not really a fan of the cinematic type and you don't want to watch Stampede, please watch that. Seeing them two fight each other and the chemistry that they have is something that I feel that they can revisit in this company over and over and over. And I don't feel like people are going to get bored of that. They're so talented and they work super well together. You know, him, those two, add in Darby, add in Sammy Guevara, and that's your future of wrestling right there in America, and, you know, in this company anyway. And it was great. I also really enjoyed the title change for the women. I loved Sheeta getting that feel-good win here. There was such a big, well, not an in-person pop, but a big pop on Twitter for her, and what a talent she is. She's so so strong as a competitor, and I feel like she's going to elevate that title. And that's not a knock on Nyla or anything. I just feel like that's just kind of who she is as a wrestler, watching her in Japan and then coming here. I thought that was excellent, and the Stadium Stampede was great. I actually agree with Mags. The only two things I didn't really like or care for was the vanity booking and the Dustin Spears match. I love Dustin Rhodes. He's one of my favorite, like, of all time. But I didn't really care for that. I think it's because I don't really like Sean Spears very much, or the way that he's the flip-floppiness of him. You know, first he's attacking Cody with the chair and he's the chairman. Now he's going to go be a tag team and Tully wants to find him a tag team partner. Now he's a newscaster thing. I don't know. It's very strange. Yeah. But I think ultimately what it comes down to for me was the Cody Archer match didn't need to be involved in this TNT championship. And that's what bothers me. I understand from a logical perspective, putting Cody there with your belt, it's your workhorse championship belt, right? This is the one that people are going to come to and fight through in order to kind of elevate their status within the company. I don't have a problem with that per se, because especially as they booked him to not be in the title, main title picture, this makes sense for his role in the company. I just don't like it that it's the way that they did it this time. I just didn't care for it. And, you know, I'm hoping for the push of new stars on Twitter today. Actually, he answered someone's question and said that it is open to anybody, AEW or not. Yes, and so brain is going,
I think Amy replied and said, can we have a British waiter wrestling for the title?
I would be very excited about that. I think there's a lot of opportunity. So on that hand, like, if that's how you're going to handle it, and he's going to do an open challenge every week and we're going to get solid, consistent, good wrestling, then I'm fine. But it just was the way we got here. I was a little like,
Fancy booking can be a little bit dangerous at times. I mean, the fact that Cody sort of owns the company, I know he doesn't, but you know what I mean? It's a bit like when Vince has put belts on himself or Shane over the years. You're like, but at the same time, like you said, I do get it. But at the same time, there are big names in that company who could have held that champion instead. I mean,
who could have potentially used the kind of rub that the title would have given them. I think if in all of wrestling, if there's a one wrestler who never would need a title, it's Cody Rhodes, because he's got the absolute love of the AEW community. So it didn't really need that rub. I understand that you want to kind of him facing off these other wrestlers, they're going to get that kind of the rub from him, but it just didn't need the title for me.
Who do you think deserved it more, Ben?
I think the guys who are literally going to be the future of your company, but are not quite ready for that. For that title picture, like the likes of Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy, those kind of wrestlers, like basically like an intercontinental title of AEW, yeah. Where you put your really talented wrestlers who are on the edge of kind of reaching that main event level, and it gives them something to battle for. I think Cody's already main event, and he didn't kind of really need this rub.
What, Orange Cassidy? Did you ever show up?
Oh my god, can you imagine Orange Cassidy with a towel? That'd be amazing.
I just want him to drag it behind him really slow.
Or just leave it. I mean, that was
another... Or leave it, not come out with it at all and go, oh.
Well, that was another highlight from Double or Nothing, where he went over to find out what the rules were, even though he'd been explained them 100 times. And he was like, oh.
Having seen the man himself and fist bumped the man, my God, that was one of the best moments of my wrestling fandom. When he was the IWTV champion, you remember the IWTV champion, he'd walk around with it in a backpack and just pull out a backpack all the time. It's so brilliant. Little Jackson even appeared with a belt in his own little backpack.
The pictures are
brilliant. I think everyone liked Double or Nothing. Even the WWE mark liked it. I am the table! Mags, talk at the table.
We're gonna keep on the same kind of theme. But I'm going to actually go with the thing that they were the Cody and Archer was wrestling for, that TNT title. Oh my god! Now you guys know I'm a title belt mark. My favorite title in the whole world is the block logo RC title, the Workhorse title, and I've got quite a few title belts now. And then when this was revealed, I almost threw up in my own mouth and had to swallow it. It's the ugliest major promotion title that I have seen in a long, long time. There's just nothing about it that stands out and says, yep, this is cool. It's just a block lettered, like almost sharpied TNT logo in the middle of a plain circle, and with the side plates, I think they said that it was Ted Turner's mansion, which... absolutely no idea why. It didn't get a lot of praise online. And then when AEW tried to backtrack and say it wasn't quite ready and it's going to get done, it's going to get finished for Wednesday, and it came out and it didn't get finished for Wednesday, and it's horrific. And I don't think any kind of gold plating is going to make that title look good. Yeah, that title needs to go straight in the bin.
How bad was it, Queenie?
Oh, it was so bad.
But do you know what was kind of like the icing on the cake? It wasn't that long ago that Cody absolutely ripped into the 24/7 title and said, this is a horrible looking title and it's got 24/7 in the middle of it. And lo and behold, it's literally a 24/7 title. It's so horrific.
Conrad is equally cringing. Do you want to jump in, buddy?
Oh, dear.
I wish you guys could see his face right now.
It's like the funniest thing, though, was when, as Mike said, he ripped into the 24/7 belt. But then I think it was Nick Jackson, and he was like, well, when we unveil our belts, they're going to look nice. And it's like that TNT belt, like that looks like something that wrestler would like fight not to have to keep. it's just horrible. It's like, it's, I think, other than the WWE belts, which are literally just corporate logos on a bit of leather, I think that this is kind of like in that level of bad. It's just like, it kind of feels lazy, the fact that they've just slapped the TNT logo in the middle and then the AEW logo on top, and it's like, well, there you go, that's jobs are good and what's next on the agenda kind of thing. And it fell a bit flat, and all the Mike Tyson in the world isn't gonna fix that. And
don't.
Oh, it was just really sad.
Don't.
That gif.
Don't go there. You know what I'm about to say.
Do you? Yeah, because you don't know who Matt Tyson is, do you?
I know who Mike Tyson is.
Now you know.
He's going to lose the title.
About 3 or 4 months ago, you had no clue what he looked like.
Oh my god.
Hey. But anyway. thanks, Conrad, for bringing that up, mate. Thank you for that. talk about this belt, it's reminded me of a show I guested on a few months ago. Do you remember, Mags?
Yes, I do.
It was a bit of the Badlands, and we talked about the worst championship belts redesigns. I've seen a lot of very, very beautiful TV titles over the years. ECW had a great one. WWE had a decent one. This one, it looks like someone gave the remote control for my Xbox with Create a Championship for the WWE game and then have at it. And this is what they came up with at 2 minutes notice. I've never felt more embarrassed for a company. And that's including the Weight 7 Championship.
I mean, it's... I hate the WWE tag team titles. I think they're horrific. The Penny and Nickel titles. But I think I'd rather have a replica of one of those than a replica of this TNT title because, yeah, it's just woeful.
Well, it's not on the same level, is it? And that's the problem. They come out with this AEW championship belt, and it is opulent. It's massive. It's beautiful.
It
has old school vibes. It feels good. I know. I see it. I'm jealous. And it's so impressive looking. It's so impressive looking. And then they come out with the women's championship, which is very pretty. It's just 10 sizes too small. It needs to be, I always say, like, if you play Mario and you get the little mushroom and he grows in size, that's what they need to do to that title, okay? It just needs to be bigger. Then I'm like,
right,
okay.
Track, yeah.
Right. It's a beautiful design. The color's cool. It's a different shape. I like that. I mean, it's not my favorite women's belt, but that's fine. It's nice. Then they unveil this one as the third belt, and I'm like, who approved this idea? Like, I get that it's, you know, your TNT belt and you have to play it at corporate. Okay, whatever. But why does it have to be in block letter Sharpie, like, stencil? What is that for? Why can't it be opulent and cool like the rest of your belts? I don't care if you put Ted Turner's mansion on there. It's a TNT belt. Good for you. Great. That's fine. He's the guy who TNT's Turner, right? So that's fine. But why does the inside look like that?
I don't
understand it. It's like tinfoil flattened with black Sharpie on it. I'm like, who wants that? I don't understand why. I feel like, you know, WWE has just, I hate all of their belts. And I don't know why we got away from the good stuff. Why did we ever stop doing the beautiful belts? Isn't that what it's for? You're fighting for a title belt. Don't you want it to look nice? I don't know. Just me.
On that note, Queen, what's your opinion on the WWE Championship? Just the main big black belt.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Why?
It's cheap looking. It doesn't have snaps. And it's just plain. It's plain.
Well, one, it ain't cheap, trust me. And two,
it's not cheap for us to buy it, yes.
It has snaps.
There's ones with Velcro.
Yeah.
Well, I bought didn't.
They have ones that are Velcroed.
I've seen the Bailey one, the women's one. That's got two strips of Velcro on.
Sure does.
That one, I don't condone that, but the ones you actually buy don't have Velcro on. So.
Well, that's at least nice, but I feel like they don't look prestigious to me.
That's fair. I do feel that the WWE Championship, the main WWE Championship one, at least that one looks somewhat professional, at least. And
of all of them, yeah.
The Universal one looks better in blue, but that's not saying much.
Better in wood?
The Universal's never in wood, unfortunately.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't mind the IC title redesign, but the white belt was so classic. I just don't know why you'd ever get rid of that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. My personal favorite was the one before the white one.
Horrible. Horrible towel.
Personal choice.
Well, it's a bad take.
Oh,
you
no.
should be ashamed of it.
It's a bad moment.
I do prefer the white one over the current IC title belt.
But to be fair, I didn't even like the WWE RC title, the white strap. I like the WWF, the block logo one. That was the best one for me.
Right, before we get bogged down and talk about the even more, we could.
And then you could listen to the Badlands archives. We did a 2-hour episode on title belts.
Connor got a book out to start reading. That's how bored he's getting. Right, so we're going to...
And it's just my notebook for topics.
Fair enough. Okay, so I'm going to bring a topic to the table. At the risk of infuriating a former guest of ours, AEW's latest appearance from FTR. Am I the only one who thought meh?
Yeah. I wish they could have had an audience. I think they would have got a massive pop. But I do like the fact that they've come in pretty quick. I fully expected them to do maybe a little bit of a run in NWA, maybe like go and visit New Japan for a while. But the fact that we knew they were coming in, we knew it was going to happen. And I thought the entrance was cool. I love that black truck. That Chevy truck was badass. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the way they come in, the way they teased the fact with the books and that spark pile driver. Oh my God, that was beautiful.
Okay, fair enough. Conrad, you want to come in as well from the look of it?
I did quite enjoy it. I think the fact that they've come into AEW straight away, and that's kind of because they're like the biggest competition WWE got. First of all, it's a kind of a middle finger to WWE kind of thing, like how we signed over the. I think I read that they signed over the rights to the Revival name and stuff, so the no compete clause was nullified. But I think the fact that they've kind of immediately burst into like the upper echelon of the tag division, and then they can go from there, and they can, because people know them obviously from WWE and now AEW and that, and then they, they said they wanted the match with the Briscoes, so they can go to Ring of Honor and do that there. They said they wanted to do some freelance stuff across Japan. I'd love to see them just go all across Japan and just fight everybody. That'd be really good. But I think, is it a bit too soon to be putting them in that top spot? I get that, like, striking while the iron's hot, whatever the phrase is. But then you've got teams like Private Party and TH2, and I know Havoc and Sabian have only just started properly teaming and stuff. And I feel like they're kind of being left out because because FTR have come in and they're like the hot thing for a lot of wrestling fans who were big fans of them and became frustrated with them in WWE. And that's, unfortunately, as good as their tag division is, I feel like AEW are kind of dropping the ball a bit with the talent that they've already got. It's kind of like they've got a shiny new toy, and then the other toys that have been there longer and haven't really been used that much, and they're just going to be thrown to one side because there's something new there. But it was a good debut overall. I'll say that it was really good to see them, and that's obviously teasing the match with the Young Bucks as well, which I know the majority of people really want to see, myself included. So good job for the debut, I guess.
Fair enough. Queenie?
I love the debut. The black truck was my favorite part. They look totally badass, ready to go. I like that they attacked Butcher and Blade. I hope we see that match soon. I liked that they teased the Young Bucks. I, too, would love to see them fight the Briscoes. I, too, would like to see them run through Japan. Them versus G.O.D. would just give me all the feels. That's all I want in my entire life. So if they can make that happen, like, let's go.
My co-hosts have both pretty much orgasm at the thought of it.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm excited about that. And to Conrad's point, I feel like, you know, they came in so hot with tag teams, and for me, they have the best tag division hands down, and they're very heavily focused on that. But they came in really at the beginning super hot. They had the tag tournaments and all this stuff, and the tag belts, and, you know, here we are. And then it kind of cooled off for a little bit, and we haven't seen a lot of the tag teams that they brought in. And then, of course, COVID happened, and now here we are. So I feel like it's sort of a tricky spot for them to be in. I feel like they need to revive their tag team, pun intended, their tag team division a little bit to put them back on television, right? Let them be seen a little. And now that restrictions are easing and things of that nature, we're going to start seeing some more people come back, I think. And that hopefully will be fixed. But the other problem is they do only have the 2 hours, and then they have AEW Dark. So they really do kind of have to find another way to push some of these teams so they're visible, so we can see them. Maybe we have another tournament. I didn't mind the tournaments. I think that they're fun. And, you know, as fans of New Japan, it's kind of what we do. And we love that. So I wouldn't mind seeing it. But as far as the revival goes, I feel like I hope they get a slow burn with the Bucks. I hope that it's not immediate. I hope it takes a long time to get there so we can really push that story. So it's a major, major moment. I want to see the revival go through Private Party and Butcher and the Blade and H2 and kind of work their way through the tag division so we can kind of see them wrestle in a different capacity than we're used to. So that's what I'm looking forward to with them.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, I think Queen and hit the nail on the head. I think coronavirus has put it in almost where we're in a holding pattern. We've obviously not been able to have Hangman on a lot of the shows, and being half of the tag team titles, it kind of keeps that division in stasis. I think once we're allowed audiences and once we've got Hangman and Kenny back to being a tag team, I think we're going to see that refocus on tag team division again. And again, I agree with Queen. I think we need to have the slow burn towards the Bucks, teasers with it, but we don't give it a straight away. That is an all-in main event for the tag team titles match. It has to be. It's a dream match in a world of dream matches. Yeah. So, yes. I think it's the best place for the revival. We knew they were going to go there. We just didn't think we would get it that soon. But yeah, I love the way they came in. It's a really, really cool way of doing it.
But to answer my own question, then, I am being personally thought meh, clearly, then. That's because I'm not a fan of them, personally.
Or of AEW, you WWE mark.
I didn't like the WWE. Chill, I didn't like him in WWE.
Such
a
shit.
They misuse them.
I didn't find them entertaining when they were in the ring, to be brutally honest. Whether it was because of gimmick or because of what the right was like, I'm not sure.
It was the main roster. That's what did them in. NXT Revival were so amazing. Absolutely so amazing. A huge throwback to what made tag team wrestling great. And then when they came up to the main roster, it started well. And they just tailed off so quick. And yeah, you can see why they got pissed off with it. And you can see why they turned down the best part of $1 million a year. Because it was about the wrestling for them. And it's cool that they're going to a company that will give them that little bit of creative freedom.
Well, if they turn down the money, then good for them on that side of things. And if they're going to be better used and be entertaining in AEW, then that's great. I do agree with you, though, if they are going to do them versus the Bucks, which I must admit at the moment I'm not too bothered about, but I want to be bothered about, then I have to admit, if they don't do a slow burn to it, where do they go from there? If they don't do a slow burn, if they just go like next pay-per-view, bang, we'll do it straight away sort of thing, where do you go from there? So the slow burn is the only choice they can make.
Yeah.
I think it's... They go in first straight away and they beat the Bucks or the Bucks beat them. What happens then?
Yeah, that would be typical WWE booking, and AEW aren't. They haven't come across as like that in terms of booking.
It's the only logical step, definitely. As proven, as a little example, when Scott Steiner came in WWE back in 2002, came back, first pay-per-view up against was Triple H, pretty much, wasn't it? Give or take, yeah.
For four pay-per-views in a row.
Two pay-per-views in a row.
No, I'm sure it was more than that.
Royal Rumble and No Way Out. He didn't even appear at WrestleMania.
Didn't they have like an arm wrestling competition and a pause off and stuff like that?
That was all the build up to Royal Rumble. And to be fair, that wasn't bad build up for it. The matches were shit.
It did have drop foot.
Then because he got buried. And similarly, as soon as Goldberg appeared, they put him straight up against The Rock. Beat The Rock straight away, like, well, you've beaten the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
What matters at this point? So when you bring anyone into a company, if you want to have as you have all said, a dream match, you need to have that build slowly.
I think as well, the issue that they're facing with the current tag landscape, you've still got those belts on Kenny and Hangman, and you cannot rush that long-term build. Obviously, we had the teaser at Revolution where Hangman looked like he was going to turn. And we've had that story since tail end of last year where Hangman wants to leave the Elite, but then he's not being allowed to be as free as he wants with the Elite. But then he proved double or nothing that he's there. So you have to kind of not rush that story, but then you have to still kind of keep some sort of anticipation regarding the Bucks and FTR, because if you just kind of keep them apart, and if you then you risk leaving them apart for too long and then no one cares. Mm-hmm. Then if you have like little interactions, say, and I'd say maybe Double or Nothing or All Out next year, because it has to be, that's your marquee tag match, and that's the one that's going to bring in 100%. The biggest money, because they've teased it for years.
It's definitely not. It's not a fire fest or a Full Gear style match. This is a Double or Nothing or All In.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing too is we can't forget is that the Best Friends are in that, and we're going to get a program with Kenny and Hangman and the Best Friends, and that's going to be going on. So that's another reason why I think that Slow Burn is actually going to happen, because they're going to have all of these other tag teams going on while the program with the Best Friends is pushing for Kenny and Hangman. So I think it'll be good. I hope that we're going to be pleasantly surprised with the way that they do that. If they have done so well with this Hangman story for basically a year, then I think that they can do it with this match as well.
I am the table! Right, we're back on the table again. Queenie, do you want to talk to the table?
Yeah, can we? Let's talk about why New Japan is greater than everybody else. So let's talk about why.
Matt, you sit this one out. Go and make yourself a drink. This doesn't involve you.
No, stop it. It's actually specifically about their handling of the COVID-19 situation. So it was put out there that their executives and their top people took pay cuts, so no one had to lose their jobs. The way that they have structured their response to COVID in Japan and taking care of their roster and ensuring that everyone is safe now that they will be coming back with their, thinking about no fan shows, potentially empty arena, and then fans at, reduced capacity and all of those things. But they've been the ones kind of being the standard bearer, to steal a phrase from Mags, and leading this wrestling response to COVID. And they've really just said, we're going to put our stuff on pause, and we know it's disappointing, but we're not going to do anything, and we're going to make sure that the safety of our fans and the safety of our roster and employees, our staff as well, are all taken care of. And I just think that the way that they have done it publicly on social media and sharing this information with the fan base and putting out their plans and what they're thinking about doing and being very transparent that, yes, we're canceling this big event that was supposed to happen in Wrestle Dynasty in New York in August. And they're like, we're not doing it. And we're pulling all these things, but we're going to try to come back now that it's a little bit safer. They just dropped that news. I'm very excited that they're coming back. I've missed New Japan. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, y'all. And I love them a lot. So this was tough not seeing New Japan, but I just love the way that they handled it as a company. And they're one of their top people, Tanahashi, coming out and saying wrestling should be the last thing to come back. I just think class act, top to bottom. Oh, if I didn't love them already, I love them even more.
Tanahashi is a class act. I can't argue about one.
Oh, and the hair.
So. I would now let the two New Japan marks load both barrels and go. So after you, gentlemen.
Go on, comrade. Shoot your bolt.
Don't ever tell him to do that again.
I don't think he can hear.
Yeah.
What do you think about New Japan coming back and how they've reacted to the pandemic? Were you asleep?
I think it's brilliant. Sorry, I'm staying in my Nana Gwena's conservatory again, and the signal's not the best. I've got a day around my like kind of. There's been. I think the rule about to reference, this is how a company should be handling a situation of this nature. Like if we had, like I'm hoping we don't, but it's seeming to be likely. Say we had another peak of this, I feel that we could learn a lot from New Japan and Bushiroad and Jung, because obviously protecting Stardom as well as New Japan. I think their response has been, Japan as a country, their response has been so unique. To my knowledge, they haven't had like a strict lockdown. They're just kind of business as usual. Let's be kind of more hygienic than normal. Let's keep the masks and we'll keep just trying to keep moving. But I think, yeah, it's just been really good to see the fact that nobody's had to lose their job and the was taken care of. And I'm really looking forward to when they come back, because this will be so many wrestlers' first breaks in a long time, like Tanahashi's first break in probably best part of 20 years. And he's had knee issues and all that, so there's going to be he's going to be probably at his best he's been in nearly all 5 years or so. And then you've got all this kind of build that we were expecting for the anniversary show, and I think that that's why they did such a good job pausing, putting things on hold when they did, because then you've got the stuff with the New Japan Cup, and there were stories heading into that that you can pick up on. And then you've got Naito and Hiromu, and then you can do that match. I swear to God, if that match doesn't happen, I'm going to cancel my New Japan World subscription.
No, it'll happen.
Don't you dare. That.
That's how serious he wants that match. If he doesn't get it, he's going to cancel everything. Wow. Max?
Yeah, I was speaking.
I'm going to tweet aggressively.
Oh, no.
That's not
right. Heaven help us.
Yeah, I was speaking recently to Callum from Ringsiders, and I was talking about how much I've missed New Japan. And like Conrad, that Hiromu versus Naito match is something that the world needs to see. Just the way that COVID took that from us, I will never forgive coronavirus. but yeah, yeah, it's coronavirus' fault. Blame coronavirus for everything.
Could you forgive it? No.
But yeah, I think the way that New Japan has dealt with this has been impeccable. I've read reports that Harold Mage took a 95% pay cut to make sure that his talent was still able to have a wage. It's just that it's class upon class upon class the way they've dealt with it. And it was interesting hearing the kind of comparisons between the way WWE dealt with it being a publicly publicly funded company, as compared to how Bushiroad dealt with it being in the same kind of situation in Japan, where there you can buy stocks and shares in Bushiroad, and the way that the two biggest companies in the world technically dealt with the same issue in two diametrically opposed ways. Yeah, it's just brilliant that New Japan has took this stance, and the way that they've kept the fans informed about how we are going to get this these shows back, the kind of roadmap that they're going on. So it's you can tell it's a very much a fan centric company rather than the way WWE are, where it's definitely a profit based company. Yeah, it's just it's why I came back to wrestling, and it's why New Japan will be my number one forever.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue having looked at how they've handled it. They've done a great job. Some companies have done worse jobs than others. But New Japan, right now, they're the employer that I'd want to work for. Absolutely. A 95% pay cut to keep your workers working. If I was wearing a hat, I'd take it off to him, definitely.
I still remember... like 2018 when Harold Mage was announced as president, and there were all these reports like all the wrestlers were planning on walking out because they're treated like members of a production line rather than as athletes, and I bet they haven't got that mentality now. I think that to say that much.
Certain things can change a person's opinion, and that was a move right there to let actions speak louder than words, and those actions suddenly spoke. So I don't even know that, Conrad, so... Thanks for bringing that to the table, definitely. I am the table! Keep talking, mate. You're up next.
Oh, good. So this is... I'm sorry to be like the dampener on the fun. The positivity that we've had.
Yeah,
the fly in the ointment.
Yeah, I am sorry. But this is something that was a... I think it was quite tasteless. SmackDown... on Friday night. Really good show overall. Looking forward to Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles again. So they never fail to put on anything less than great. But it was the show opener that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth for the rest of the show. Now, I get that it's been done, and they've kind of, when Jeff Hardy came back and they were talking about all his issues and stuff and his redemption story. And I know TNA did it after the Victory Road match, and they did a whole big storyline with him and Jeff Jarrett and, oh, like, you're a junkie scum and that. And we, like, no wrestling company wants you. But then the fact that back in October, and we had Jeff Hardy kind of, obviously he got arrested for DUI. And from what I've read, he did call WWE the day before and said, look, I'm struggling with this. I need help. So, and the next day he got arrested, which is horrible. But I feel the fact that they've made a storyline out of this is a bit really low. Looking at how it is at the minute, it looks like the Hacker's going to reveal it to be Sheamus or King Corbin. And I think this is just a terrible way to get heat when Corbin, with all the stupid stuff that he's been doing, and he's been managing to get some solid heat. And Sheamus doesn't need to be with Corbin. It's ridiculous. But the fact that Jeff Hardy's kind of come back, and he was like, the whole thing about his redemption, and then like the next week he's like, ha, you've almost killed a man, but you've passed your sobriety test, so you can go. It just made no sense to do that. And I was kind of hoping to see him in the final of the tournament, but just wanted to know your guys' thoughts on like the whole angle to start off the show.
Right. Queenie, you want to go first?
Yeah. I don't watch SmackDown, and I'm probably not going to be watching very much of Raw anymore either. But I feel that I'm very happy I didn't see that live. I was very appalled when I saw the video go up on Twitter, and people, you know, DMing and texting me and saying, oh my God, did you see it? And I went and watched it, and I just thought to myself, why are we doing this? Conrad, you made a great point. I totally agree. Yes, they've done it before. I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. This feels enormously tone deaf, given the current situation of our world. This is just not a storyline that you need to do. There are ways that you can do a redemption storyline, and you can use parts of his real life to show that he is bettering himself and working towards sobriety and working towards, you know, being better within himself and doing all these things in wrestling. And you can showcase that on TV. I just don't think you need to do it in the way that they did it now. I found it particularly disturbing, too, when they did this bit with Joe, Samoa Joe as well. Mm-hmm. They were talking about him, and he was in the bar and all this stuff. And I don't like that thing. I find it tasteless. And I know that, you know, in not just in wrestling, but in movies and in books and things we watch on television, they do these kind of storylines. And it is important to shine a light on these issues, but not in this way. Also, the part of where you almost kill, quote unquote, somebody. This is just, it just doesn't sit well with me. And it's just a thing in a long line of sometimes WWE makes it really hard to be a fan. And, you know, I like the people that work there in terms of like the West wrestling talent. I particularly like NXT. And I think I'm just going to have to start just watching NXT and pulling myself back, because I just can't. I don't want to be involved in watching stories like that. And I agree about Sheamus and Corbin. Really? Corbin doesn't need anything but to just talk, and people don't like him. So he can just stay on the side and do that, you know?
You've got Big E here at the moment, definitely. Max?
Yeah, I can't really say any different to what these two have both said. It's WWE doing what WWE does worst, and that's taking people's real personal problems and using it as a storyline. And it's historical with this company. I mean, we've had it when with the Legion of Doom, with Hawk. We've had it with Scott Hall when he came back with the NWO, and they tied him to a chair and poured beer over him. The Punk and Chris Jericho stuff, where Punk is drug free and Chris Jericho smashed a bottle of Jack Daniels. It's just ridiculous that Vince fans entertainment in exploiting people's real demons, and it's just scary. But I think what makes this more interesting for me is it's kind of similar to a storyline that we're getting in AEW with Hangman hitting the bottle because of his fractured relationship with the Elite. But I think the way that AEW are handling that storyline is just night and day compared to how WWE handled this storyline. They're almost AEW humanizing Hangman and kind of showing that this is what happens when you are in this kind of negative mood space where WWE are just using it as a way to just boost the storyline. It's just, I don't like it whatsoever. I totally, totally agree. I think it's horrific booking, and it's just one of the very worst things about WWE's kind of storyline writing.
Obviously, they got Jeff's permission to actually do this story. I'd like to think, anyway. But, yeah, I mean, it's on my list, my Bad Cop stuff this week, which will be out on Friday, of course, on Visionary Global Media. But it's cheap plug. But it's a very, very, like you guys have all said, this is a subject which is a very serious matter, of course. But let's not forget that, did we need this? As you said, did we need this?
No.
It made very little sense. I mean, why would Jeff be driving a car into Elias in the first place? It literally made no sense. I mean, I like the Jeff versus Sheamus idea for a rivalry. I like the rivalry idea, but we didn't need this.
No.
To be fair, winning the title would have been a redemption story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still time for that to happen, of course. Maybe he'll be the one who takes the title off Strowman eventually. That would be a nice bit of redemption story. Win the big belt off of the monster himself. That's his ultimate redemption. He's finally back on top of the mountain where he belongs.
Yeah, it just didn't need this facet.
No. So hopefully they buried it. Go on, come on.
I have like an emotional attachment because with lockdown and I've seen the negative effects of alcohol. There was the incident that I was speaking about the other day was alcohol related. Obviously not myself personally, but there was an incident that was fueled by alcoholism, and that was seeing it like just a few weeks after it had happened at home. And it really does, like, I think you realise after something's happened to you directly, like, how much it hurts everybody else. But then with, like, lockdown across the world, and then they're making a storyline out of something that many people are starting to turn to while in lockdown. So, yeah, if you haven't got anybody to live with, then you turn into the bottle. Or you turn into some sort of addiction to kind of pass that time or forget about all the issues that you've got. And it's just horrible to really just – it was horrible to watch. And I feel so bad for all the, like, the Hardy family, and it's like one of the first times in a long time that I've agreed with something that Rebby Hardy said, where she said she almost like threw her TV or whatever, and it's just there's no reason for it. They could have done something different that got the same effect, and it was just really sad to see them stoop to that level.
Is this the poorest taste of a storyline since the Katie Vick storyline?
Since Eddie's dead, I think.
Possibly.
So let's hope that they bury that quite quickly, because let's face it, the feedback hasn't been great, and Vince has been known to quite quickly bury something and move on. So hopefully this happens here. I am the table. Okay, Matt, got a quick one for us?
Yeah, I've actually got a couple, but there's one that maybe doesn't really deserve the attention, so I'm just going to quickly run through that one. A certain renowned podcaster in our community fired a lot of abuse at Alexa Bliss and really went personal with it. I don't want to say the guy's name, he doesn't deserve the attention, but
okay, because we talked about that on Good Cop Bad Cop. Listen to it last week so everyone will hear about it, guys.
So that guy's a jackass and kind of got his just desserts, although I didn't agree with the way that the community went after his family.
Not their fault.
Exactly. And then obviously we've had the Jim Cornette falling out with Jim Ross and Chris Jericho because he didn't like that. But what I actually want to go on is, and again, I'm going to slag off the WWE's storylines here. We all know that we've spoke about the way that they've reacted in the pandemic. Yeah. They've furloughed a lot of staff, released a lot of wrestlers. And again, it's totally in contrast to what has happened in the likes of New Japan and AEW. But the bit I hate so much about it is the use of these released staff in storylines. It's just so grounded. I mean, everybody here will know somebody who's going through issues because of unemployment, not knowing where your paycheck's going to come from. And WWE are using the likes of Kurt Angle, who got furloughed, back in storylines. Drake Maverick, who had to put out a really emotional video for WWE to realise how talented this kid was, to bring him back into storylines. And we still don't know whether he's going to have a job at the end of it. And then we've obviously had the likes of Drew Gulak, who asked for his release, made a big song and dance about it on social media. And then all of a sudden he's re-signed, and now it's a storyline again. I think it's just so bland to how the wrestling world is feeling, that WWE think that these issues are a subject to be a storyline. I find it offensive that people's real life problems are being used as fodder for these ridiculous storylines. So yeah, I just wanted to give WWE a little bit more shit because they deserve it. What do you guys think of using furloughed and release staff to further storylines?
Conrad?
I think it depends on who, because obviously Kurt Angle's furloughed, so when all this is over, he's most likely going to get his job back. But then from a business point, it makes sense because they've got a limited roster, so they can use those released talent for however they see fit for those 90 days. Props to Drake Maverick for actually agreeing to do this. He could have easily said, "Well, you clearly don't see any value in me. Like, just go. Like, just I don't want to know," kind of thing. But I think this is for Drake Maverick or Rockstar Spud, whatever you want to call him. And I think it's going to do wonders for him because he had that kind of thing. And I can see it going either one of two ways, and I think I'd be happy with either. They could either give the Cruiserweight title to Phantasma, and they can use they can have that as kind of like he fell at the last hurdle and then maybe gets his job back, maybe. Because he's proved himself and he's beaten. He had a really good journey. Or they can have him win the title. He hasn't got his job back, and he can do a CM Punk with it, where he goes away for a few months. Kayfabe or not, maybe he goes to Progress or Evolve, like, you know, those WWE affiliate companies, and he builds a name for himself, and then he can do a David Starr, and he can kind of like throw that belt down, and he's like, well, you exploited me, and da 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 da, and then like a couple of months later, he comes back, and he goes on like this rampage, the fact that he was exploited after being released, losing his job, and it's such public knowledge. So it's interesting with Maverick. It's a bit weird how they haven't used the likes of, well, they didn't use EC3 anyway, so I'm not really surprised, but the, like some of the other release talent that I was quite surprised that they haven't used. But yeah, I think it's, to get a storyline out of it's still a bit of a scummy move, even if it could do a world of good if they do decide to bring that wrestler back.
Queenie?
I think the thing that bothers me the most isn't any of those people. I think it was actually when they flew in during the peak of the pandemic, like No Way Jose and Sarah Logan, to work on Monday Night Raw and then texted to fire them the next day. Yeah. That I don't like. That is, I think, the thing that I have the most problem with. The Drake Maverick story, I think that he... you know, put out that emotional video and people came out in response to that. And if he wants to re-sign with them and they offer that to him, then good for you. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. Drew Gulak was a weird situation, but it was just weird. I don't know. It's weird. But I feel like the thing that I had most a problem with was the way that they used like No Way Jose and Sarah Logan, the way that that all went down, I didn't like it all. I just think that that was in poor taste. If you're going to do that, then I would have told them and said, you have the opportunity to work and then this will be it. That's how I would have handled it if I was in charge. But I just, that's what I think was in most poor taste.
I agree. It's no argument that Drake Maverick has a massive cult following after that video he put out. I mean, he already was a bit of a fan favorite before that anyway. When the video came out, I'm pretty sure Magma might be saying this. I cried watching that video. And I'm sure I think he did a few
times himself. It was heartbreaking.
Emotional.
It kind of took you away from the fact that Drake Maverick is a character, and it took you to the human being behind that character. And it was heartbreaking, because this was a guy whose ambition in life was to be a WWE wrestler, and he's never really been given the kind of the fair shake of the stick and to be let go in the way he did. It was just heartbreaking. I mean, and that's to say with all the wrestlers that got let go, and I link back to the New Japan thing. It shows that it didn't have to be that way, and it's all about the money, which is it's scummy. It really just feels scummy to me.
I'm hoping that some good can come out of this, but the people who are furloughed. The fact that Angle's back, maybe they're bringing the third people back, because they are looking to restart people at shows in June, from what I've heard, which is a bit early, if you're asking me still.
Very, especially here.
Yeah, I mean, we come out of lockdown tomorrow. We're not prepared for that.
We come out of lockdown, although not fully, but it's still a little bit concerning, obviously. I did appreciate on Raw, NXT and SmackDown this week that they did have the partitioning up on the sides of things. We can see how it's going to look probably when we come back, which I don't think I've got a problem with, really. I think it can be used actually beneficially. You can use it in matches, like bang them against it sort of thing, like in hockey, so you can actually use that more for that reason. Having people in the crowd, as it were, and added something to it all. I know AEW did it first, and obviously saw that and are using a similar sort of thing. I think it worked. AEW does it better because of Orange Cassidy's sign, which is just blank, which is amazing. But
MJF has been amazing.
MJF gambling at ringside has been.
The first match they did when they had the crowd and he was going, "Let's go, mask guys." It absolutely creased me. Yeah, it's so good.
But with regards to the other one, I'm really hoping that all the people who lost their jobs through Black Wednesday. They do land on their feet, because once things start again, hopefully they'll all find a new home, be it Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor could rebuild pretty much with some of these amazing people who are now out of WWE, of course. AEW doesn't really have a room for a lot of talent to come in, because they've already have got a bloated roster as it is. Even if they did a second show, still got a big roster. Maybe New Japan for a few, perhaps. That'd be great. I'm pretty sure Conrad would like to see like Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins over there, for example.
Yeah. Oh, like NWA and Impact. You know, props to all those guys, because they're, from what I've read, they're still paying all their guys, and especially Ring of Honor, who were practically dead in the water at the tail end of the last year, and the fact that they're still paying all of their guys is really a testament to how quickly they can turn things around, and if they put their mind to it and they put the investment in, they can do something really good. I hope that good will kind of help give them platform to kind of like rise back to their former glory when all this is said and all over with, which will be a nice thing to see.
This could be a springboard for companies to basically start again, almost, as it were. So they've got a fresh chance, basically, hopefully, when this all restarts again. I am the table! Right, so I'm going to bring one last topic to the table before we wrap up. And that one is Matt Riddle has been promoted to SmackDown. Now, is this a promotion? Because NXT thought maybe the third brand in itself. But is this a good move, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah. It is absolutely. A good move. Yeah. I honestly think that give Matt Riddle a couple of years and he's going to be one of WWE's biggest draws. He's just that good. He's just so, so talented.
Does it leave NXT slightly weakened, though?
No, I wouldn't have said so. It wasn't in anything really significant in terms of storylines. He had the match with Timothy Thatcher, but that was more because of Pete Dunne not being available. And I think that may lead to getting Pete Dunne versus Timothy Thatcher, which is going to be an absolute brutal war. But yeah, in terms, he was always destined to be main roster. He's too big of a name to be on NXT full time. So yeah, it's a brilliant move.
Maybe we'll finally get to see him with Lesnar. Conrad.
I wasn't quite sure how to feel about it, to be fair, but I think they did the Riddle farewell really well, because the stipulate, obviously, the Lions Pit match, which was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. I'm a fan of the half style of wrestling, but not like a really MMA style like that match was. But then I think they did a really good job as establishing Thatcher as kind of like the legitimate tough bastard of NXT now, having him go over a legit UFC guy. And as Max said, give it 2.5-3 years. I think that Riddle, Bryan, AJ, Nakamura, Cesaro.
Oh my god! I've literally got shivers then.
Oh yeah, they could have like a new new SmackDown 6 could easily be those guys, and they rebuild SmackDown after a few lackluster months. You can have Riddle as a top babyface. Just don't have that focus on Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, but like don't have him bring it up all the time like he kind of has been. It's kind mm-hmm. of it has been in the past. Like just let him kind of carve his own path, and then have like maybe when Lesnar comes back and after a while. Then they have Riddle call him out, and like that's your SummerSlam match or your WrestleMania match. That's big money in it, really. So
there's money in that match if it ever happens, of course.
Hopefully it does.
Your thoughts, Melissa? Bloody hell, Matt! I'm reading my notes.
Wow.
It's all good. I like to watch Matt Riddle wrestle. I don't like hearing Matt Riddle talk. I really can't stand it. And I thought he was most endearing with Pete Dunne. And that was the only time that I kind of really liked him was there, or like enjoyed their segments together, because I love Pete Dunne so, so very much. And I'm ready for that Thatcher match, so whenever that happens, great. But I think it's a good move for Riddle to go to SmackDown. I think he's got some great people to feud with there. I'm sure he will be a very big draw. I just will mute when he talks, and then I will watch when he wrestles, and that will make me happy.
Would it be better to put him with someone who can talk, as a manager or a valet or something?
No, I think he's fine personality-wise. I just don't care for his gimmick. I don't care for the whole thing. I hate this no shoes. I can't stand it. It drives me nuts. So would it be better? Not really. I think he's a face, so he can just talk for himself.
Fair enough. I'm not going to argue against you on that one. Everyone's got their own opinion.
I mean, I've come from a biased point of view, because I knew of him through his MMA stuff, being a big MMA fan. But yeah, I can get the point. It can be kind of grating if that's not your kind of thing. He does play up the whole stoner gimmick without really saying that he's a stoner. And I think he'll have to curb that in for SmackDown.
Big time.
Being on a major. But yeah, he's got charisma for days, and as a wrestler, he looks legitimate. And I honestly do think he's the kind of guy WWE can really get behind and push him as a big star.
Yeah, Now I'm thinking, really think about it, like Matt Riddle versus Daniel Bryan. My word,
Nakamura. Yeah. Matt Riddle versus Nakamura. Oh my good God.
But Nakamura can't phone that one in like he did with AJ a couple of years ago.
I don't think it's Nakamura phoning in. I think it's Nakamura being stunted. If you go back and watch Nakamura's work in New Japan, that guy does not do phoning in. He really, really
does. Or even NXT, even his NXT work, and was stellar.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but every now and again, wrestlers do phone him in. I've seen that. I saw Eddie Guerrero once, one of the best workers in the business. He had a match with Chris Benoit at One Night Stand 2005, and that was shocking. Guerrero phoned that one in so hard, and I was like, I've seen these guys tear Madison Square Garden down, and these two guys, it stunk the place up. Sometimes wrestlers can be amazing and just phone it in. I mean, Nakamura just, we expect Nakamura versus Styles to be great, and it wasn't that feud. So I'm hoping that Nakamura versus Riddle would be good.
It will be.
And that's Mag's kind of last word as usual. I am the table! So, we'd like to thank the Queen of NE joining us this week.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure having you on. Where can people follow you and hear your stuff, my dear?
Well, again, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. You can find me at The Queen of NE on Twitter, and my show Queen's Court drops every single Wednesday on Smart to Death Radio as one half of the hashtag Queen of Pup Connection. Wednesdays are the best days, followed by Thursdays because they're my favorite show with someone on here. And, it's a good time, so I hope you check it out.
Choose a pretty good little table and find a good cop back book as well. Okay, Conrad, where can people get you?
You can follow me on the old Twitter at lcompactonew. I'll be putting a link tree up where you can read my writing and whatnot. Got a new podcast, my own little venture. That's coming within the next, I'm hoping, end of July, start of August, when things are kind of back up and running. And I've got some logistics sorted out, and you can follow me on Instagram at lcompactonew, but that's just me sharing like running photos and stuff, so there's not much there, but yeah, Twitter, go ahead.
Okay, dare I say this, Mags, who are you this week?
Well, before I run through my spiel, over this last fortnight, we've had some horrible incidents in the world wrestling, obviously, with Hana Kimura, and it's so sad. And even though we've spent an hour and a half bitching and moaning about wrestling, I just want to say, don't give these human beings the grief that they've been getting on social media, to the point where people are feeling that they have to take their own lives. It's horrific. And to kind of steal a bit of a phrase from our illustrious guest here, just be kind to people, just be kind to one another. Saying that, you can follow me, and I'm going to be pimping in because we've got this this kind of tenuous truce going. Follow me at Josh Robinson 00.
Oh, Joshy!
Joshy boy, we love you dearly, buddy. We love you dearly. And you can actually find him at DJ Kirk Bear.
I have not had a stroke.
What is that?
Well, I don't know why you say it like that.
Because it's Northern.
Wow. And you can follow him at Good Cop Wrestle.
Actually, it's Good Bad Wrestle, but and you can find me at the Mattack UK. Follow all the other shows available on Visionary Global Media now, of course, at Viz Global Media. We thank you all for listening. Thank you again to the Queen. Thank you to Darren and to Conrad. And thank you to myself, I guess, as well. We're out of here.
That's incredibly bad. Cordy.
This podcast is a Mattack production for Visionaries Global Media.